Welcome to RSN's Race Day.
Ready? Gates crash back in racing.
For the first hour, it's the first word. Here's Gareth Hall.
Yes, this is RSN's Race Day on this Saturday, the 21st of May. Good morning to you listening on your local RSN 927 dial throughout Victoria, and hello to you wherever you may be listening on the RSN 927 app, our sister channels right across the country, and also on our website at rsn.net.au. Well, the Goodwood, South Australia's famous sprint race, is the highlight right across the country this afternoon. Local stars Behemoth and Savage to Excel are the proven Group 1 performers, and both have been well supported. But it's this exciting three-year-old Extreme Warrior looking for his first Group 1 that leads the market as Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. look to cap off a South Australian carnival to remember. Geez, we're praying the rain stays away up there in Queensland at Doomben, so we get to watch one of the country's best in Saki strutty stuff in the Group 1 Doomben Cup. And here in Melbourne, well, we're back at Flemington, the best track in the land. And the two gallopers that have produced Group 1 ability in Star Patrol and Tuvalu are predicted to be the stars of the show. While the feature, the Hilton Nicholas Straight 6, sees the Pride of Corowa, Front Page, return to Flemington after his breathtaking return to the track in the Wagga Town Plate after an injury layoff. Yes, it's another dream day for us racing fans, and the only way to start it is right here on your home of racing, RSN 927.
RSN's Race Day, and the first word with Gareth Hall.
Great to be with you on this Saturday morning. It's an also it's an important day right across the country as we enjoy the National Jockeys Trust Race Day. And it's an important day, Sean Cosgrove, as I say, a very good morning to you, because these brave men and women that head out onto the racetrack every day are important for us to enjoy our favourite sport, because if they're not doing what they do, then we can't punt on the races or enjoy this wonderful sport. And it's also important that we pay our respects to the jockeys that have fallen, and also the jockeys that have been seriously injured doing what they love, Cozzy.
It's the only occupation in the world, I think, where when you go to work, two ambulances follow you around, and they've done surveys on the most dangerous occupations. And it sort of finishes up there, short half-head between it and a North Sea fisherman. You wouldn't want one of those in the first leg of a double, because that's an extraordinarily dangerous occupation as well. The National Jockeys Trust was formed in 2004 by the Australian Jockeys Association. And so far, they've given out around $5 million to over 300 jockeys and their families. Those have either lost a partner who was riding or have had serious injuries and needed assistance. So it's a wonderful cause. It's on again today at Flemington. If you get a chance to support it in any way, shape or form, please do.
So if you back a winner, or
tip in.
Get the trifecta or the quinella. Yeah.
Just unload.
Or put your two bob before you have a punt, and the luck might
be on your
side.
In case you do the lot on the punt, yes. Tip in first.
Yep. Good, because so you'll be heading to Flemington as
yeah,
well.
Be yeah, be out there today, comparing the day, out in the committee room, so it'd be nice to be out there and catch up with quite a few. And I've got to say, people like Jason Benbow and Nathan Rose, they do a terrific job.
Yeah.
Do a lot of work, and Jason's just, he's tireless.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is great. Yeah.
Good on you, Cozzy. Liam O'Keefe joins us. It's a busy morning as always. We'll be catching up with the Ross Smith at Doomben, Craig Hall shortly at Morfordville, and then a host of the trainers. But it's always great to be racing at Flemington, and Liam O'Keefe joins us. Hello to you, Liam.
Morning, Gareth.
Looks like it's a perfect morning in Melbourne town. What's it like at Flemington?
Beautiful morning out here. Quite crisp. We've got quite a heavy dew. Very light frost in some areas, so winter's certainly set in. But going to be a pleasant day, top of 15 degrees. And the track this morning's come up a good 4. The going stick is 9.5. The inside of the straight is 9.7. The outside is 9.4. The shear is 11.8. The running rail is in a 6-metre position. We've received 7.6 millimetres of rainfall so far this week, and we've applied 2 millimetres of irrigation yesterday afternoon, and the moisture in the track is 36.5%.
So the rail's out 6 metres. How do you think it'll play?
I think it'll play well. We had to move the rail out 4 metres. I only wanted to go 3 metres, but we had a fair bit of damage after last Saturday's meeting with that rain on the day. So we've come out at 6 metres. Covers the wear around the home turn. In the straight, there is some marking on the inside 3 metres. It's going to be dry marking, so it won't have a huge impact, but I do expect the jockeys to edge off the inside at some stage during the day.
So in the last race, do we look for the outside barriers then down the straight?
Oh, I wouldn't so much say outside. Yeah. Probably that's more relative for the circle races, because the straight races, they'll come up the middle to outside anyway. So yeah. I think they'll just spread across that outside half of the straight racing.
What about the wind conditions?
Very still today, Gareth. Just the top of five kilometres from the southwest. So very still conditions today. So should be perfect for racing.
Beautiful, mate. Do you have a winner for us?
I do. In the last race, we're on Zach the Boss, Simon Zara. Drawn barrier one, so might need a little bit of luck, but we'll stick with the local Simon in the last, Zach the Boss.
Has your team voted, more importantly, Liam?
I haven't yet. Yeah. I was having a joke with my sister before. Yeah. So
is there a booth that we could set up at Flemington?
Yeah, we said that. It might be a good little innovation. That's something in St. Nick Place with a nice little fire and a voting booth. It could be a winner for the panels.
Good on you, mate. Good luck.
Thanks, Gary.
There's Liam O'Keefe. Let's head up to Brisbane to catch up with the track curator there at Doomben and Ross Smith. Ross, it's a good morning to you, mate. What can you tell us?
Gareth, how are you?
Good, thanks, mate. How much rain did you have overnight? I've been thinking about you guys. It's just so... Well, you just can't believe it, can you? Every time here in Melbourne we turn on the news, it's bloody raining.
Yeah, I've had enough of it, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, what will we be racing today, I guess is the question.
At present, we're on a heavy 10, and we put a horse over the track at 10 past 6. Andrew Spinks come back in, said the track was safe enough to race.
Oh, that's great news. What about the weather for the rest of the day? How much rain is predicted?
The forecast is 20 to 35 mil.
Okay.
It's just drizzling at the moment, overcast, very still, and it's cool. It's like Melbourne.
Yeah. Well, I guess, mate, if it rains before the meeting, we might be okay. But if it rains during the meeting, you're in trouble. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Once they open the track up and it starts raining, last week at Eagle Farm, it handled the rain during the day. I don't think it'll handle it too well if we got rain during the meeting today.
Yeah. So, what's your gut feel?
Look, it just depends how much rain comes in and when it comes in. That's what it all comes down to at the moment.
Yeah, well, thinking of you, mate, we'll cross our fingers and toes and hopefully the sun comes out in the sunshine state.
Yeah, we get through the meet. Oh, I don't think we'll see the sun. I haven't seen it. We've seen it once in 9 days.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately. Right.
Let's hope it picks up for the rest of the carnival. Good on you, Ross.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Ross Smith there at Doomben, so you can hear it in his voice. Yeah, it's just not fair. They've just had too much rain, especially in Sydney and also, of course, up there in southeast Queensland. They're racing at Morphaville. It's a Group 1 day. It's Goodwood Day. And Craig Hall joins us for a track update. G'day, Craig.
Good morning.
What are we expecting today in Adelaide?
The weather's going to be fine, top of about 19. We're on a good 4 with a Pennine 5.46. And we've just had the 3.5 mil of rain for the week. And the rail, we've just come out 2 metres from the 12 to the winning post from last week's meeting. It pulled up very well, so just gone out 2 metres. So it should be a good day's racing.
All right, then wind conditions?
They're expecting about 13 kilometre easterly, southeasterly, so a little slight little tailwind, so okay. I don't think we'll have too much, yeah.
And a perfect day for one of your biggest days, it sounds like.
Yes. No, perfect day. Yeah. Beautiful and fine.
Beautiful. Craig, have you got a tip for us? Is there any whispers around Morphaville of recent times?
No, I just like the astrologist, actually.
Okay, yep, the Victorian.
Yep.
We'll have a chat to Troy Corson a little later on here on RSN 927. Hey, we wish you the best of luck, Craig. Thanks for that.
No worries. Thank you very much.
There's Craig Hall with an update there at Morphaville. The first word, we'll be catching up with Kelvin McAvoy, Tommy Sadler, Levi Kavanagh, Patrick Kearney. He's got an interesting 2-year-old in at Flemington this afternoon. Troy Corstens will be joining me. Todd Pollard, the racing manager for Annabelle Neesham, will also join us, along with Andrew Bobbin. Matty Kamani will have a chat to us. Jermaine Hunter as well. So it's always a busy hour here in the first hour on RSN Saturday Race Day. At 7:13, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back
with Gareth Hall.
7:15, great to be with you on this Saturday morning. Let's catch up with Cliff Brown because he stars sprinter the third. He's a big chance in the Firth at Goodwood in Adelaide. Cliff, good morning to you.
Morning, Gareth. How you going?
Good, thanks, mate. How is the Inferno?
Yeah, he's good. No, he just had a trot in Canada this morning, nice and bright, and back in his box now, and he's coming to eat.
Geez, you must have been happy with the way he finished off there in the Mackay.
Yeah, really pleased. I thought it was a great run, especially, you know, the way the track played all day, and if you were up handy, it seemed to be an advantage. But I thought he was very good, and I thought Behemoth was very good as well.
Gate 3, where do you expect Mark Sarah to settle?
Oh, look, I would like to be not as far back as we have been recently. Barriers have sort of dictated that a fair bit for us. But, yeah, I don't think he'll be up outside the lead or anything like that, but hopefully he won't be too far back. And the biggest thing, I think, Gareth, will be who gets the luck in running. But, you know, a field of 19 it's, or 18, it will be who has the luck that, you know, probably wins the race.
Geez, he deserves the luck to go his way in a big one.
Yeah, he does. Look, he was unlucky in the Moyer. You know, he got held up a bit, but that's his pattern. You know, with the barriers that day, there's no one's fault. It's just one of those things. But anyway, listen, you can only keep trying.
It's been a pretty good carnival in Adelaide. Your Fed, how did he pull up after a really good run in the Derby last week?
Yeah, he pulled up really well. Lovely and bright. He's in the paddock now, and he'll have a good break and come back for the spring. But no, he seemed really good.
Good luck today, Cliff.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Have a good day.
Same to you, mate. There's Cliff Brown. Troy Corson joins us now. Good morning to you, Troy.
Hey, Gareth.
Hey, we'll just have a chat straight away about your Goodwood runner and the Astrologist. And this race might just set up beautifully for the Astrologist today.
Yeah, it does look perfect for him. And he's drawn nicely, goes forward, makes his own luck. So hopefully we can get the right run in passage.
Are you happy with him?
Yeah, very happy with him, mate. He travelled out nicely and hasn't left a note since he's been there. He's drunk well and ready to go.
And from gate 6, with plenty of speed, where do you hope that Fred can settle in?
Look, he'll be forward. That's his natural pattern, Gareth. So we won't be changing that today going into the grand final. He'll be forward. Would have loved there to be a bit more speed, but you'd think there'd be enough in there to suit our boy. So he should be stalking, and hopefully Fred can produce at the right time and get a little bit of luck and hit the line nicely.
It's been a terrific story, especially for your stable, Troy, the Astrologist, because throughout his journey, we've had a chat to you about him on several occasions. And I remember he went to the Gold Coast just over 12 months ago, and he performed really well, and he had throat issues and you fixed them, and then we all thought that he might just be a straight horse, but then he's performed around a turn. He's just been a beauty, consistent galloper that just keeps stepping up.
Yeah, it's been great for Bennett Racing and the owners, and he's just he's not the best horse in Australia, but he always tries so hard, which I'd love to put that attribute into a lot of the other horses that I've got. I can tell you, you get so many that show so much in the mornings, and then you take them to the race day, and they don't produce. But he's the opposite way around. He's a nice worker, but when he gets to the racetrack, he just gets that eye of the tiger, and he loves fighting.
What about in that mare's race over 2,000 metres? Made of Iron stepping up in trip. Your thoughts there in race 5 in Adelaide?
Look, the 2000's definitely going to suit. Whether she's quite up to that class, we need to find out. We're there to try and get a little bit of black type if we can, because we know how much that makes them worth once they finish racing. So that's what we're there for.
And what about Abrupt in race number 4 there in over the 1,200 metres in the David Cole Stakes?
He's a really nice 2-year-old, Gareth. I've got a lot of time for him. Capitalist Colt that we think goes very well. Obviously, throwing him into the deep end, but we think it'll suit him.
Can he win? Sounds like he can.
It's not going to surprise me if he wins.
Geez, is a Dread a big price in the second race at Flemington and the 2-year-old over the 1,400 metres?
Yeah, she's way over. Yeah. Her two runs to date have been fantastic. Her first up run at Cranbourne was unbelievable. And then she just had no luck whatsoever at Geelong and still had the audacity to pick herself up and run home. So I think 1,400 will suit. D. Oliver on board, there's none better. He'll get back on her and she'll come down the outside and finish right off.
Yeah, it was definitely a black book effort there after Geelong when she had no luck. So from that wide gate, does Ollie just need to produce one of his very best, or do you think being out there will suit her? There'll be no bad luck in a way. She'll get clean galloping.
I think Ollie can just go back and relax and be three wide with cover and just try and produce her, you know, at the 300-metre mark and let her roll through her gears.
Your father and yourself have done a wonderful job throughout the years as training these thoroughbreds, but how satisfying was it to get Ranting to win again last time?
Yeah, it was great. It really, really was. The owners have been extremely patient and, you know, they've backed us 100%, which is very good when you're training racehorses, because everybody knows there's no rules to it. But to let us geld a valuable colt because he wasn't going to quite get to the heights that we thought, and you know, it was real just to see him come back and do that. It was great.
We all know how much ability he's got, and he had a throat operation as well. Is that right?
Yeah, he had his vocal cords removed, so it's not actually, it's not like a roaring operation. It's you know, it's probably, if there is a throat operation that you want to have, it's the one.
So mentally now, how much benefit would have that done to him with that victory last time around with his confidence?
That's helped a great deal, but more so the geld. He's just come back a different horse. Sometimes you see a change when you geld a horse, and then other times their demeanour doesn't change a hell of a lot. But he's just a completely different horse, so I think that's the best part about it.
Are we having a punt today?
Yeah, I think Ranting's our best of the day, so I think he can bounce back and go 2 from 2 this time around.
Love it, mate. Good luck today, especially in Adelaide.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Troy Corstens. Tommy Sadler was sensational for us last week, and he's back. Good morning to you, Tom.
Morning, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thank you, mate. Flash Feeling was impressive. She's on the quick backup. Up to 2,000 metres. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's a really interesting day for Flash. He, we've always thought it was sort of a mile to 2,000 would be his trip, but we're exactly in between that range. We're not sure. And he's a horse that can get up on the bridle, as he did at the start of his win there last Saturday, and we just found on the back up it'd be a good way to see if he actually gets 2,000. He's handling his racing so well. You know, we could barely contain him through the week. He's that fresh and well in himself. So he goes there today in good order, and it'd be interesting to see what his trip is.
Sometimes those get back horses that hit the line strongly over 1,600, 1,200 metre horses stepping up to the 7 furlongs. You think they'll enjoy the extra trip, but that sometimes isn't the case.
Yeah, that's right. They only get it once they've gotten it. You know, and that's a large reason why we're running today instead of the mile race that was on offer next Saturday. And as I said, generally, you know, you would be concerned if did he not get the trip or did he not back up, but he's a horse that thrives off his work and racing, and we just feel that a week in between runs will take the edge off him, and he actually might be able to settle and actually run it out properly.
Yeah, and what's your gut feel about the 2,000 metres, and do you think that young Cartwright can get him to settle?
I do. I think he's a very intelligent horse, and to me, the other day at Flemington, they went very steady early. Once he got cover, he completely switched off, which was good to see. I think he's got quite above average ability. I think even though he's, you know, racing at the weaker time of Saturday grade, I do think he'd be a better four-year-old. Really interesting to see when he comes back after a spell. I think he's still finishing. And I'm really not sure. I have a bit of a feeling that he's a bit too brilliant to get any further than 2,000, but whether that's still within his range, you know, today we'll definitely see.
Can Sam's Image win first up in the last?
Yeah, I think he can, to be honest. He's over the odds. Been about 2.5 years since he ran in a Benchmark 70, and you know, he's going to stay on his tombstone that he beat Nature Ship twice, so that's pretty good form at a Benchmark 70, albeit it was a good while ago now. But he goes there in good order. He races well fresh. We don't do a hell of a lot of work with him in between. He hasn't won down the straight, but he's well performed. And for him to be carrying 60 after the claim at a Benchmark 70, I think that's a really winnable rate, especially with not many horses. You know, there's nothing there with 52 or anything like that. So he goes there in good order, and I'll answer your next question. I think he's the value bet of the day.
Beautiful. I tell you what, you're getting good at this now, Tommy. So $10, we're having 5 each way or 10 straight out on Sam's Image then?
No, I think he's too good each way value. So I'd like you to have me back next weekend, so I'll go each way.
All right, mate. That's why we love you, Tommy. Say good day to Johnny for us and good luck today.
Thank you.
There's Tom Sadler. Levi Kavanagh joins us because the Kavanagh camp are heading back to Adelaide with Sarah Ness going around in the Proud Mistakes. That last race in Adelaide over the 1,200 metres, and she is a filly in form. Levi, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you going?
Good, thanks, mate. How is she, Sarah Dess, after that really good victory in the Tobin last start?
Yeah, really good. She came back and, you know, she was just fresh coming out of the box after her travels. You know, it really, I think, brought her on a little bit too. She's, you know, back to the same track and trip today. You know, probably a bit harder race, but she did win impressively last start. Similar weight today as well. So we're expecting another huge showing.
Yeah, she does take on the older mares here. But do you think she can make her own luck here once again? And I guess that General Bow form line, some are giving him a chance in the Goodwood today, is a pretty handy form line for a race like this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, she's also got to contend with the gate 10. But with her, I think she's going to be better being off the fence and have her be able to position wherever she wants to. I mean, Craig opted to go forward last time, and that worked out enormous for him. It'll be up to him again today where he positions her in the run. But, yeah, look, we couldn't be happier with her.
Good luck, Levi. Thanks for that update.
Okay, thanks very much.
There's Levi Cavanagh with Sarah Dess, and his father, Mark, of course, also prepares that filly. So she does look tough to beat in the Proud Mistakes, of course, which is race nine there on Goodwood Day. Some terrific racing right across the country. James McDonald, the best jock in the land, rides Zaki, of course, in the Doomben Cup. Let's hear what J-Mac has to say about Zaki's chances.
He hasn't looked back since, to be fair, so hopefully he can repeat that dosage. It doesn't need to be by seven. Hopefully it's just with his nose in front, but he's going terrific. He hasn't put a foot wrong this preparation, so hopefully he can do the job again.
So let's just hope we get to the Doomben Cup. Our track report this morning, it's a heavy 10. They had 15 mils overnight. They had a horse gallop on at the course proper. The jockey reported back that it's safe, but there is rain predicted throughout the day. Now, if the rain does come, it's highly unlikely we probably get to the Doomben Cup, especially if it comes at the start of the meeting. If it stays away, we'll be okay, but it's 50-50 at best whether we get to the Doomben Cup, I would imagine, this afternoon in the Goodwood. Geez, Michael Kent Jr. and Mick Price have had a wonderful South Australian Carnival, as I mentioned from the top, and they've got two strong chances in the Goodwood, but their best chance, of course, is the three-year-old and the favourite, Extreme Warrior. Here's Michael Kent Jr.
Yeah, I thought the Barrow draw was nice for us. I think it's a busy race, and you'd rather be drawn a little bit out, but not too wide. Be plenty of traffic down near the fence, and that track's been playing to horses that have been coming off the fence the last few meetings. So I think with a typical J-car ride, just soft bare hands, let him feed in. He's got very good tactical speed, so I think he'd be just in behind them somewhere. In the boat comes out, but as you said, still plenty of pressure. I think Lombardo, our other runner's probably got to go forward. He's a free-flowing horse as well. So I think it works out well for us. He'll enjoy the big track, and yeah, no, I thought it was a good draw.
So he's a $5 chance, Extreme Warrior, and he's the favourite in the Goodwood. But Behemoth put the writing on the wall first up there in the Mackay when he flashed home for six. He's had support. He's at $8.50 now for the Goodwood as he looks to win another Group 1. Let's hear from his trainer, David Jolly.
After the first up run, everything's just gone like clockwork, really, you know, sort of thing. So I don't think we could have him any better. We took him to Morphaville yesterday and he galloped with a partner there and on the main track. And, he sort of powered away from that horse late, and he sort of hasn't done that for a while. Mm. You tend to idle up to him and just do what he has to. He's quite a clever horse. He sort of conserves his energy, and, he powered away from his sort of stable mate. So I think that, after that, you know, Carter and I are very confident that we've got the horse there in good shape. And naturally, in these races, they're not easy to win, those sort of these big 400-metre sort of sprint races. So you've just got to have luck in running.
Here at Flemington, the most intriguing runner is Star Patrol after he smashed the clock to win at Flemington at his last start. He's $1.45, this three-year-old, and the son of Star Spangled Banner in race number 5 at Flemington. Let's hear from his trainer, Clinton McDonald.
I think if he turns up, I think, yeah, obviously, times and that don't lie. I think he's going to get a beautiful track at Flemington. And, his trial the other day against the Goodwood, everyone saw it. So I think if he turns up in that order, and he does everything right, Brett gives him, you know, the right run through the race. So, you know, I'm expecting him to do the same. But, you never want to get too far ahead of yourself in this game, because there's always a good good leveller, isn't it? You can end up with your pants pulled down.
Well, the punters have Clinton. They've just chimed in. I know there's been a few scratchings, but he's now into $1.45. So I think the majority of the punters around the country expecting Star Patrol to get the chocolates once again. And he is nice and short. He'd be nearly the shortest price favourite in the Thoroughbred game right across the country. As I said, he's just into $1.45. It's 7:30 here. This is the first word. You're with Gareth Hall. We'll take a quick break on the other side of it. Patrick Kearney, Philip Stokes, Todd Pollard will be joining us, along with Andrew Bobbin, Matty Kamani, and Jerome Hunter. Will
stay. And the first word with Gareth Hall.
Beautiful day here in Melbourne at Flemington. Liam O'Keefe reporting this morning that we'll be racing on a good four. The rail's out 6 metres. They might be getting off the fence in the latter stages of the meeting, but as always, it should just play beautifully there at headquarters this afternoon. Patrick Kearney from Ballarat's got the one runner, and it's a pretty promising two-year-old in the second race there at Flemington this afternoon. Emma Boutho, that was impressive without too much luck there at Bendigo on debut. And Patrick joins us now. Good morning to you, Patrick.
Morning, how are you going?
Good, thanks, mate. How did your two-year-old pull up after that effort at Bendigo?
Pulled up really well. He's sort of a big, dumb, raw bugger, really. Yeah. He just he doesn't really know what's going on yet, and that's the sort of the most exciting thing about this horse.
Yeah. What did you make of his debut? Because he did find a little bit of trouble there at Bendigo, but he still was able to pick himself up to finish second.
Yeah, I was really confident going into the run. I thought that he would definitely run in within the top two. David Brightoak's horse, I knew going into that race, they sort of had a big opinion of him. But I galloped him here on the Tuesday morning, and he worked with another horse, and he went away from it with pretty easily. So I was really excited going into Sunday. Yeah.
Getting onto a good four track today. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, you'll see a different horse this time. He'll find his action a lot easier, and he'll be able to carry himself sort of into the race, and hopefully have a nice smooth run, and hopefully he can just be too good for him.
All right, mate. I love the confidence. Tell us a little bit about you, Patrick.
I'm 25, just turned 25. I've got 12 horses in work at the moment up in Ballarat. I train on course. The team's going really well. Obviously, got the standout horse, Ashy Boy, who's done a lot for my career so far.
Yes.
Before that, I worked in Newmarket for Hugo Palmer. I was his assistant. And then I worked for Mick Price, his travelling foreman. Took horses away like Seabrook and High Am and Oregon's Day, and I rode Grunt every single day, and I had a really good innings with Mick Price, that's for sure.
Yep, and now you're living the dream, mate.
Living the dream up here in Ballarat. It's about 4 degrees at the moment.
So you got 10 in work. We all know Ashley Boy, but Emma Boutho, how did you get this galloper into your camp?
I was dead set keen on buying a yearling last year from the Tasmanian sale. I've been going down to Tasmania since I was a young kid, and I'd stay there with Glenn Stevenson and his family, and they pretty much adopted me as one of their own. And I really like the horses that Grenville Stud produce. I think they're nice, tough horses, and I saw this fella. He was lot four, and I went there with the idea that I was going to buy him and pay $15,000 for him, and that's exactly what happened.
Beautiful. Now he's a $10 chance at Flemington on a Saturday afternoon. Hey, we wish you the best of luck, Patrick. And if we want to get involved in your stable, mate, how do we do that?
I've got a Facebook page and an Instagram page. They're both Patrick Kearney Racing. I don't have a website as yet, but that should be getting sorted very soon.
Well, if you win today, you might.
Yeah, I might have to.
Hey, great to hear you this morning, Patrick, and good luck today.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
There's Patrick Kearney there, good young trainer. Emma Boutho, an excellent chance in that second race there at Flemington, the two-year-old event. Todd Pollard joins us now, the assistant trainer to Annabelle Neesham. And, geez, Annabelle's team's flying up there in Queensland. I think Todd's been looking after them, so hopefully he's been getting a little bit of a bonus from the boss. Hello to you, Todd.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good, thanks, mate. The stable's going really well up there in Queensland.
Yeah, no, it's been good. Relieving. The first couple of runners, they sort of, you know, it's always nice to get a winner early, but the first few didn't win, and, you know, I was copping a bit of slack from a few people, so nice to have a good week last week where we had a few winners and all the horses running well, so, yeah, fingers crossed. Keeps going this weekend.
Do you think that we'll get to the Doomben Cup with Saki today with that weather?
It's pretty dubious, to be honest. I mean, we're in the Gold Coast, which is still an hour away from Brisbane, but looking at the radar, everywhere is copping it. No one's missing it. And, yeah, it'll be interesting, that's for sure.
If it's a heavy, heavy 10 or a heavy 50, is that a concern for Zaki?
Yeah, it's obviously not ideal for the horse. Probably the positive we'd take out of it is that at least it's going to be a loose track. He actually got through it okay in the Queen Elizabeth, where they probably had more rain and obviously got beaten by a very, very good Nash Rewilla ride that day. So we know he can get through it okay. He doesn't love it, but it does bring other horses into contention. Polly Grace is obviously going to love it, and her and Cooker Archer both ran really well in the Hollandale, so they've got to be respected.
Can you compare him to last year when he basically really... Well, he arrived on the scene, didn't he, after dominating a Durban Cup?
He's probably gotten more arrogant since then. I don't know if it's because he's getting older, if he knows he's so good, but he definitely knows he's a good horse, and he likes to be in control and everything. But probably this whole prep, we've been happy with him throughout. There hasn't been any issues behind the scenes or anything like that. So, I mean, when a horse is just... When everything's going right into the runs, you're always happy, and... he's come through the Hollandale victory so well and everything, so it's a shame that it's not a dead or a soft track and he can show his best, but hopefully Pass can get him through.
Now, Holyfield, the BRC sprint was 1350 because of the weather. They've had to change the distance there to the 1200 metres. Is that a negative or a positive for your horse?
Slightly a negative. He 1400 metres seems to be his best trip, but he is second up, and he's probably pretty fresh and well. We haven't done a lot with him after the trip to Rockhampton. It is only 2 weeks between runs. So he didn't get it last Saturday. He just bowled around. And Tuesday he did go to Eagle Farm for an exhibition gallop. So that is a little bit extra. But hopefully on the fresh side, and we'll be okay. And the heavy track, the way it's going to be, it's probably going to feel a lot longer than 1,200.
Now, the boss has got runners at Newcastle. You've got a couple there on the Gold Coast. You've got runners, of course, at Rose Hill. Is there a standout for us, Todd?
I really like Hopeful at Rose Hill today in the Lord Mayor's Cup. He's a pretty nice horse, that's for sure. And, hopefully we can use this as a lead-up to a race like the Q22. Really nice moving horse, and the further he goes, probably the better. But he ran really well the other day at Hawkesbury, and he looks really nice chance, and quite an even field, but hopefully ready to go second up and can win it. Yeah, handy odds of, I think he's about 5-1.
I love it, Todd. Good luck today, especially let's hope that rain stays away and we get to see Zaki in that Durban Cup. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks very much.
There's Todd Pollard, the assistant trainer there to Annabel Neesham. Let's hear from some of the other major players at Flemington, and Andrew Bobman's got two excellent chances engaged there at headquarters this afternoon, and he joins us now. Good morning to you, Andrew. Thanks for your time, mate.
G'day, Gareth. Thanks for having me on.
Jeez, and Fien is a terrific story. Just tell us about the story of this two-year-old and how you got her into your camp.
Well, we're actually on the road now. We've got a fair old drive from Stall, so we're loaded up with a couple of the owners, Rowan McDonald and Dominic Kerr, who we're all tied up together at Grampians Racing. And when we first got going, we did the deal on the farm, and so this is what we're going to do. We thought, geez, we're not much good having a farm if we haven't got any horses. So we went to the online auction site, and she was one that we liked the look of, and started from scratch with her. She ran very well there at Warrnambool in a fairly, I think, decent race. It looks like it will play out to be. And a race that was probably leader-dominated, where she just flopped around out the back and charged the line and looked like 1,400 metres on a good surface today. It should be right up her alley.
How much did she cost?
I think it was between $3,000 or $4,000. We actually bought her and a full sister. One was $3,000 and one was $4,000. Oh. So I can't remember which was which. But, for a Rebel Dane filly, if we can win a few races for her, we've seen what Rebel Dane is now capable of, a stallion, then she might be worth something down the track.
Jeez, can you find us one then for $3,000 or $4,000?
Oh, Andrew, the bloody online auctions have just gone crazy. You know, when we first started, they were they were achievable, but they're very hot, a bit like the yearling sales. Yeah. But hopefully, well, she'll certainly pay for herself anyway.
Yeah. Can she win today?
Well, you look at the market, and there's better judges than me that line up the markets, and they've got her, I think she's $6 or $7 there. So somebody gives her a shout, and she's certainly taken improvement from the run there at Warrnambool. So I think she's got to be a place chance.
Ocean Beyond, he's always had plenty of ability. He's been a new addition to your stable. He goes around in the straight six there in race number 7 at Flemington. Geez, you must have been happy with his first up effort.
Certainly was at the 1,100 there. I thought with 300 metres to go, they were just going to gobble him up. But there was a tearaway leader in that race, and he did all the hard work to cart the rest of the field up to that leader. And as I said, I thought they were going to put him to bed, but he really fought on and was probably doing some of his best work that last 50 metres. So he did. He certainly will take improvement from that run physically. The 1,200 metres will certainly suit. Whether going up the straight suits him or not, I won't know. But Linda Meek, she knows what she's doing. Probably a little bit of a stronger race today than the other week, and we're just out of the handicap just a touch with 54 kilos being a minimum. But the horse is fitting well, and you've got to be in it to win it.
What do you think his best trip is, Andrew?
Well, you buy Ocean Park, and you thought he'd get over a little bit of ground, but I can only gauge him on what he's done in the past. And we started 1,100. We're creeping up again to 1,200. There is the Topaz at Swan Hill in a couple of weeks, which looks a pretty good race, but equally the day after that at Sandown, there's a 1,300-metre race as well, which is in a couple of weeks' time, and I expect him to be peaking for either one of those. So to answer your question, I'm not quite sure where he's best, but we'll just keep increasing the distance gently, and he'll tell us where he fits in.
And, of course, with your farm at the Grampians, you've got the heavy sand. Has he enjoyed that aspect of your training?
Yeah, you'll see him in the yard there today. He's a bit wild and woolly.
Yeah.
But I just think he's happy living out in the yard, so ain't broke, don't fix it. He ran well the other day. I haven't moved into a box yet, but he's happy and yeah, I think the country life certainly suits him, as it does all the other tried horses that we've been having a bit of luck with over the last 18 months.
Have the boys brought some cash in that wallet to have a bet?
Oh, they're pretty good at it, and I think they had a few beers last night too, so they're not as chirpy at the moment as they usually are, but I reckon they'll warm up as we get closer to the races.
So we should have something on Enfina then, you're telling us.
I'd say, well, you'd hope that she's a place chance, and you might get better than even money to place at the odds at the moment.
What's the bakery you stop at on the way?
Yeah, well, we'll get through Ararat first, yeah. And probably, well, we have to bypass Ballarat, so we probably need to Beaufort, I suppose, just up the road, because it's freeway all the way from there, so yeah, that definitely could be an option.
And then a six-pack, probably slab on the way home, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I reckon if she were to get the cash or run a very good race early on, I think there'll be more than six drunk by the boys before 1 o'clock. So we'll see how that plays out. But we've got drivers that can get us home, and that's the beauty of these blokes. They enjoy their racing, and they're good blokes to be tied up with, because we're in it to train winners, but also to enjoy ourselves.
You're a star, Andrew. Loving your story from the rugby league days to the cameraman travelling around the globe, and now to a rising star trainer in Victoria, mate. You do live the dream. We wish you the best of luck.
Good on you, Gareth. Thanks, mate.
There we go. There's Andrew Bobham. Let's hear from some of the other major players at Flemington and in the Hilton Nicholson Straight Six, which is the feature, of course, down the straight over the 1,200 metres. Danny O'Brien has It's Our Time, which is the second favourite at the moment.
He doesn't seem to have any issues. He's come out of the run very well. He's got good straight track form, so hopefully he can give a good account of himself on Saturday.
Blaise Jowski's first up here in race 7 at Flemington. Here is Greg Urell.
He's in good order. I think he's probably going to be a little bit vulnerable on Saturday. He's top weight, but I just think this run under his belt will just help him sort of springboard him into the 1,400. As you said, that's his you know, that's where he's quite dramatic over those sort of distances, the 14s, where he's probably best suited. But he's certainly in good order, and doesn't matter what track is presented to him, he seems to be able to handle any surface, which is great.
The other well-back favourite, short price favourite at Flemington, is Tuvalu in race number 8 there, and in that benchmark 100. Let's hear from his trainer, Lindsay Smith.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's got a little sort of ritual he goes through now with getting the sun on his back and whatnot for his disorder, and he's very healthy and he's well, and I think he's maybe a little tad better than when he went to Warrnambool. So just getting on top of how you got to, you know, control him in between races is, we've got a bit of a handle on it now. So that's why he actually stayed in winter time. So he got it all down pat, so we know if he's allowed to every one day get to a bigger stage, that we know what his regime is in his medication and what we have to do.
He's an interesting horse, Tuvalu. Lindsay Smith has been on the record saying that he's better than his multiple Group 1 winner in Scales of Justice, who, of course, races in the same colours, the Chris Wells colours, and he had a blood disorder. He was drinking the water at Warrnambool when he went for a swim, and it stuffed up his blood, and as Lindsay just pointed out, they've worked on it, and they've got the medication right, and he returned pretty well there at Warrnambool, and if he's better than he was there at Warrnambool, boy, he'll be hard to beat, you would imagine, over the 1,600 metres at Flemington, which would be the third leg of the quaddy. At 7:48, you're with Gareth Hall. This is the first word. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with the finals with Dean Lester, Warren Huntley, David Gately, Nicholas Quinn. But Matty Kamani joins us. He's got a couple of interesting runners at Flemington. Good morning to you, Matt.
Morning, Gareth.
Tara Mansour goes around in the first. Is he just looking for a dry track?
Yes, I think so, yes. Unfortunately, his campaign has been a complete mess. His first up run at Flemington was perfect and everything was going beautifully. I really thought he was going to be a horse that could go to get to the Andrew Ramsden, and it all started off so well. And then we were in at the Warrnambool Cup and it got called off because of the rain. So then we went to the Edenhope Cup and that got called off because there was something wrong with the track. Then we had to take him to a jump out of Burren Beat and he knocked his splint bone and then got a splint. And it's just been one thing after the other with him, unfortunately. And his last run, I think the wet track and probably having not had the best preparations leading into it, I think he was a little bit unfit. And the combination of the two things just saw him hammered late on. But I think he's back on track now. He's looks fitter, stronger. He's in a good frame of mind. He gets a dry track and a good race for him. And it'll be really interesting to see what Damien Oliver thinks of him.
Yeah, sounds like a nightmare, but hopefully it gets a little bit better today. So you expect him to perform close to his best, and if he does that, he should be right in it.
Yeah, I think so. I think if he performs to his best, he'll be definitely right in it. Question is, is he at his best? He looks it to me, but his preparation to this point hasn't been the smoothest. I'm quite confident he'll run a big race.
What about your former European filly Hinati that goes around in race number 4? In the three-year-old fillies race over the 1,400 metres. Were you happy with her effort at Ballarat first up?
Yes, I was. And this is a little bit of a jump up, but I was quite keen to try and put her in against her own age group, particularly given that she's really a fair bit younger than them, at least half a year younger than them. So it's quite good to keep her restricted to younger horses rather than have her take on older ones. But it is still a pretty good jump up. She looked a bit green to me at Ballarat, and I went in there thinking she wouldn't like the heavy track, but she actually seemed to go on it quite well. And we galloped her on a heavy track on Tuesday here at Ballarat, and she went very well in that gallop. So I think maybe, I'd given her a bit too much extra credit for her performance at Ballarat, thinking that she didn't like the track, when in fact she probably didn't mind it. So maybe a little bit of a negative there, but be good to have her against a three-year-old, and while I think she probably wants a little bit more distance and time, it'd be really interesting to see how she stacks up against them today.
The story behind her getting to Australia, and do you think she's good enough to compete against these fillies in town?
Yes, I do, actually. I think she's a really quality filly. She's beautiful looking. She's got a great attitude. She moves well. And I think she's one that can take us to, you know, the city meets every Saturday, certainly, and I'm hoping a little bit more than that. But it might just take her a little bit longer to sort of get into it. And as I say, she looks a little bit inexperienced at Ballarat, so I think it might take her a few races. It's a test today for her, and a test for her jockey as well, Tatum Bull, who's been riding well in town when she gets the opportunities, and obviously takes 3 kilos off her back, which will really help her find her feet at a lightweight.
You got the OTI stayer, Sue Lenoir, going around in race number 6 over the 1800 metres. He's first up. Your thoughts there with him?
Yeah, I think it might well be a little bit too long and too short for him at the same time. He's a bit, he's not really a puller, but he gets very heavy on the bit, and gives the rider the impression that he's pulling, and they end up fighting each other for the first few first few furlongs, and it sort of distracts really away from how the horse should be ridden. So I'm hoping that Geordie can ride him well, and that they can get on with each other. I'm just going to let him flow out the gate and let him roll a bit. I think he's a real 2400 meter plus horse at least, so I think 1800 might see him look a little bit flat footed late on, but it's a good starting point for him, and I think he's come back better than he was last preparation. He's certainly going to find some slightly easier races than he did in his first few races here in Australia. I still have high hopes that when we get him up over a bit of distance later on this preparation, that he'll be a horse that can win in town.
What about one more try in Adelaide?
Yeah, well, she's going well. The question for me is whether she's really looking for 2400 now. She looked a little bit plain in her last start. I was a little bit disappointed with that, I have to say, that performance. But it's a good race for her. She gets in off a lot, she has a level weight now, or set weights and penalties. So it's a really good opportunity for her. And while it might still be a little bit on the short side, we've seen her perform very well over this distance and shorter. So I'm hopeful she can run a really big race and certainly finish in the placings, if not win.
And you've got Barcelona Express at Warwick-Nabil on that maiden. So you've got some good chances there, Matty. Have you got a standout for us that we should have something on?
I think Tamron Saw is the one, to be honest. I think Barcelona Express is a little bit short for me. I think it's probably because he's very well related, but he's quite a young, immature horse, and I think he needs a little bit more practice.
Good on you, Matty. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Jerome Hunter joins us now here on RSN's First Word, because he's got his star filly going around up there in Brisbane, well, hopefully anyway, in Barb Raider. Good morning to you, Jerome. Thanks for your time.
How are you, Gareth?
Good, thanks, mate. Do you think you'll go around this afternoon?
I'm sitting in the car now and it's raining, it's pouring down.
Yeah.
Look, yesterday it was a heavy 8. Now, this morning we've woken up the heavy 10. The radar, it doesn't look too promising.
Do you have to start today heading towards the Oaks, or do you think that she's got enough grounding underneath her after she's been to Adelaide and Sydney as well?
Oh, look, yeah, that's a good question. You know, it'd be 5 weeks between runs.
Yep.
And, you know, going up to 2200 to the Oaks. She's had one bad start, and that was that really, heavy 10 plus at Randwick. And even that day, a lot of wet trackers didn't handle it. So we've always thought she'd be able to handle a heavy track. She just wasn't confident on that, a quagmire at Randwick.
She travelled up okay?
She travelled excellent. Yeah. I'd be really confident today against this field if it was a drier track.
All right, mate. Hey, we wish you the best of luck, and let's hope that rain stops up there in Queensland. Good on you, mate.
Thanks a lot.
There's Jerome Hunter there with the East Star filly Barb Raider. Sean Cosgrove, hello to you once again. Scratchings at Flemington, please, and track conditions.
Yes, Gareth, it's fine. Had the rain out 6 metres the entire circumference. Had a good 4. We get a total of 30 of them out. Race 1, Palat 2, Queen Takes King, number 2. Second event, 4, Sky Forger, 9, Zuzmik, 12, Your Shout Ginge, and 17, Lindemann, 18, Pogar. 4, 9, 12, 17, 18. The third, 12, Parisian Vale, number 12. Race 4, 12, Bella Rouge, number 12. The 5th, 4, Caracasu, 6, Lunar Cat, number 8, Dar Sander Mill, 9, Sniper Legend, 11, Extremely Lucky, and 12, Spinning. That's 4, 6, 8, 9, 11, 12. Sixth event, 4, La Chevalley. 6, Shibley. 9, The Big Buzz. 10, Bazawa. 15, Medieval Miss. And 17, Grey Khan. 4, 6, 9, 10, 15, 17. The 7th, 3 Regards Marie and 7 Great Again, 3 and 7. Race 8, 2 Cherry to a Tony, 3 Junipal, 11 Belle Plaisir and 14 Just Benjamin, 2, 3, 11 and 14. Race 9, 8 The Great Easy, 11 Grand Pope, 19 Charm Wing and 20 for Miko. 8, 11, 19, 20, some riders. The first Royal Crown, Ethan Brown. In race 2, 8, 57 years, Craig Newitt. Race 5, 2 Crystal Bound, Theodore Nugent. And race 7, 18 Cristani, Bo Mertens, waiting on a rider. Race 6, number 19, Estrada.
Good on you, Coz. The other meeting in Victoria is at Warwick Nabil. They're racing on a good four there, and the rail is true. It's right on 8 o'clock.